The following program is paid for by the Springdale Golf Club. The views and information expressed are the opinions of its host and/or guests and do not necessarily reflect those of the station, management, or its ownership.
It's time to swing into the golf world of today with Springdale Golf Live. Sponsored by our friends at the New Jersey Golf Foundation. Here's your host, Keith Stewart.
Members, friends, and players, good afternoon and welcome to Springdale Golf Live. I'm Keith Stewart, and I'll be entertaining you on this Friday afternoon. Thank you for tuning in to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. You know, you can listen anywhere at 920thejersey.com. Just hit the Listen Live button. You know what, Al Brooks, producer on the board?
What is that, sir?
Well, we have two very special guests with us here today, as it is another engaging week here on the show. The first is on the line, and he is one of the most successful golf business innovators in the game. He is currently the CEO of Troon Golf, and he is Dana Garmany. Along with him, we have in studio the vice president of the PGA of America, Jim Richardson. You know, not all heroes wear capes. And the golf industry is very grateful to have these two leading the way.
Oh, we can be heroes just for one day.
Nicely done. Nicely done, Mr. Al Brooks on the board.
Well, you hit the post again, which is fantastic.
Well, you know what? David Bowie there with our song of the week, which is Heroes. And being a PGA professional and someone who's been a lifetime golfer, I have a couple heroes here on the show today that I'd like to take the opportunity to introduce. The first, he's on the line, and in the intro we mentioned him, but Dana Garmany is here with us on Springdale Golf Live. Dana, how are you today?
Terrific. Great to be with you.
And next to me to my left, I've got Jim Richardson. Jim, how are you today?
I'm doing great, Keith. Thanks for having me on.
Awesome. Awesome. Well, Al, we've got two of golf's finest here, so we're gonna get right into it.
Yep.
And one of the reasons that I was so happy and fortunate that we could bring Dana on today is that after approximately 30 years of running Troon as the CEO, he's going to retire at the end of the month.
Really?
So, as part of his retirement tour, Springdale Golf Live came up as something that he, you know, as a media obligation.
Right.
So he has joined us today. So, you know, Dana, take us kind of through this. It's been 30 years that you've put this together, and I know you're not fully retiring. You're going to be step down and become chairman of the board. But, you know, how are you feeling this week? And, you know, tell us a little bit about what's going on at Troon right now.
Well, it's a very exciting time for us, obviously, the people with the transition going on and people moving up and glass ceilings moving out of the way. So we're having promotions in the company, which is great. For me personally, it feels wonderful. I still have my hand in it in a role with as chairman going forward. But the people here will be running it day to day, including Jim that you have with you, will be doing the same great job they're always doing, and we'll be excited about the future for sure.
Well, you know, we're all excited about the future of golf. And, you know, one of the things in doing my research, getting ready to talk to you this week, by your own admission, I came across a story where, you know, you said you in your career, you spent more time developing small goals as you built this Troon Golf empire rather than large ones to drive your success. So one of the cool stories, there was a sticky note story. Could you share that with my listeners? This, I think, is really good for someone who's learning about goal setting.
Well, I think it probably just shows I wasn't very much of a dreamer or much of a strategic advanced thinker. I think what happened was the business, the golf business is a very fragmented business, and so when you look out there at ownership of golf or boards or, you know, whether it be a private club or a public or resort golf course, you don't have a portfolio of somebody who owns, you know, 500 or 600. You know, you don't have a MetLife who may own 100 hotels. And so if Marriott cuts a deal with MetLife, they get 100 properties at one time or something. There is not that in golf. So what happens is it's a one-at-a-time business, and so which is daunting when you start out with one and you're trying to get two or you're trying to get three. So I had made I had just done a little sticky note that I put somewhere that showed up a few years later after we were a little bit past the goal. And I said something like, I hope to have 10 golf courses in 3 states, and I'd be really happy with that. And I sort of found that and realized that I wasn't dreaming very, very high or very aspirationally in the future. But it turned out well, because what really happened was, because it is a daunting task, you appreciate each thing you do. When you get another golf course under management, you add another, and eventually you have a little bit of mass and power after, you know, many, many years. But they're never easy, and we never take them for granted. So it's just a slow growth process because of the one-off situation of the business.
Well, I tell you, I love this story because, you know, so much about success in life is setting proper goals. And I think that it would have been a little bit over the top if you had written a sticky note 30 years ago that said 360 locations, 280 golf courses at 246 different facilities. So that's the reason I bring the story up, because now if you look at the magnitude of the breadth of your guys' portfolio, you know, and I want to bring Jim in here because, Jim, you joined the Troon family in 2017. And can you give me a little background about why you jumped into this, you know, golf management empire and what your perspective was on Dana as an innovator and what Troon was doing?
Yeah, Keith, you know, I've had a career that I've worked at both public resort and private clubs. And you know, Troon was always a name, obviously, over the years that continued to grow and grow. And those that follow the industry, not only where maybe they're working, but what's going on in the industry, what's going around the country, what's really going around the globe as it relates to golf. You know, Troon's name became bigger and stronger over the years, obviously, as Dana grew the company. And because of being involved in different aspects, I've known Dana, you know, over the years, many of the company executives over the years, many of the golf professionals that worked for Troon Facilities over the years. So I got to know a lot about the company, got to know personally a lot of the individuals that worked for the company. You know, and they always seem to be on the cutting edge, always looking for the future, how to not only grow the business, but really how to kind of grow the game to make it better for those facilities and the owners that they're working for. And so had an opportunity a couple of years ago then to come to work for the company and learn from Dana and others, and hopefully can put that in my arsenal that'll help me in the future and hopefully help the company in some small way as well.
Well, I tell you, I mean, I think all of what you're doing there in the Troon family has been truly innovative, because over the past 30 years, you continue to do new and interesting things. So I'm excited to have you both on today. And really, from more from a selfish point of view, because as a PGA professional and as a golf ambassador, I could see in my little world, you know, that the golf landscape is ever changing. And I have two huge, like 30,000 foot views right now of what the golf world kind of is. And for my listeners and for the benefit of my listeners, and Dana, I'll start with you. You know, what is your big picture viewpoint of golf right now? And you know, maybe give me a little foreshadowing into what you see coming down the road.
Well, I think that that if you look at where we are now and knowing where the most of the money is spent, and as you know, Keith and Jim, the there is a, we're sort of front loaded in the fact that we have these people who are absolute golf fanatics who spend a huge amount of the money that's being spent. We really have three groups of golfers. We have sort of a 3-man group who are really spending the most money. Another group of four who are very very active in playing, and then a group of 20 who play golf but aren't as committed as we'd like them to be. And so you really are trying to move the needle in a lot of different ways. And so one of the things that's really changing is the fact that the old school private club is being modified a bit because of the younger people wanting something a bit different. And so if you, and that's borne out by the fact that there were, I think, 4,200 private clubs in 1932, and there's about 3,900 today. There's so less private clubs today than in 1932. And for that reason, the reason primarily is that younger people who are becoming affluent and able to join these private clubs are asking for a bit of a different experience. They're looking for maybe a reimagined food and beverage view or a condition which will be more casual, you know, casual dress code, maybe music, not a white tablecloth, the coat and tie kind of thing, the old traditional country club, you know, food and beverage gig. So that process of moving around, the time elements, the fact that both spouses are working now, not just one, has really just made the private club industry have to really adjust and do some things differently to be successful. And there's been some failures because of clubs that wouldn't do that. So it doesn't mean that your very top elite clubs are having problems. You know, there's going to be one or two clubs never see that they're doing great just because of the legacy of it. But the other clubs are really having to work hard to make sure the offering makes sense for the millennials and for Gen X.
All right, now let's turn it over to Jim. So, Jim, give me, because you have both perspectives. You have the leadership of the PGA's perspective and their membership and what we're trying to do and evolve as an association. But you also have, you know, you're the senior vice president at Troon of Operations. So I'm also interested in to hear what you think about this.
I think Dana's right. I mean, what we've seen, obviously, is the landscape of what the golf consumer is interested in, the services that clubs need to provide has changed. Dana talked about the, you know, the individual that played every Wednesday afternoon and every Saturday and Sunday has gone a little bit by the wayside because they're dominated their activities and they're scheduled by family. So how do you incorporate the family and the offerings to attract the family to really utilize the club, whether it be a private facility or public, to be their social hub and their place that the family can feel comfortable as well, too? So it's changing the amenities, it's changing the offerings, the programming. That's why you see things like the PGA Junior League golf and junior programs be so important these days and so successful, and programming that's around more of the social aspect of golf versus the true 9 or 18-hole golf experience. So you're seeing older clubs that are having to change out how they spend their capital dollars and how they reimagine the club and the services and the offerings that they have. And really, it's the staff and the golf professionals and the GMs of those properties. And then companies like Troon, like ourselves, that are really reimagining the offerings that we're taking to and working with clubs as well, too, because you need to ever change for your consumer base to attract those individuals in, make sure that you have the offerings so they'll stay, and you have like-minded people that all want to be there and hang out so the facility can thrive. So we're seeing that through programs like more emphasis on growing the game from a junior perspective, growing it from a women and a beginner's perspective. Really a lot more programs on how you bring people from you know, city centers and minorities into the game. And this is going to be our customer base for years to come. So there's concentrated effort now on trying to grow those segments of golf. And then again, and reimagining the clubs and the experience to really be more of a true family hub than just the traditional golfer that's going to come out and play 18 holes of golf.
Well, I tell you, you know, as someone in their mid-40s who has a couple kids, a dog, a wife at home, you know, all of this is music to my ears because I'm a Generation Xer, kind of caught in the middle of the five-generation spread that the golf market has to cater to. And to hear you guys say words like social and family, I mean, that is certainly music to my ears. Pardon the pun, Dana, but we love our music on this show just like you do. And one of the things you didn't touch on, though, was this marketplace that's out there. The 18 million strong, I think, was the number I read, that's going to play at a Topgolf, let's say, in 2018. And I bet you the number is even bigger than that. Let's say it's 20 million that participate in a non-traditional golf facility. As we head into break here, I want you both to give me kind of your feedback. And I'll start with Jim, because he's looking right at me here and he's nodding with affirmation. So I think he's ready to talk about this. As a club leader and someone who's in the traditional setting, right, how are we going to start to engage those 20 million?
Yeah, you're absolutely right. And Troon's involved in companies like that, like Drive Shack and others, like Troon Golf, like Top Golf that you talked about. It's individuals that are using golf as a social activity, but they're not necessarily a traditional golfer. And many of them are, that's their first experience in golf, is more of golf entertainment. But it's utilizing golf and what it brings to the table to bring people out in that social networking atmosphere and have fun that's involved with the game. And as you talked about, Keith, the PGA of America, companies like Troon, they're working with those off-course experiences, the golf entertainment experience. How do we work with them then to turn that individual into also utilizing that experience that they had at a Topgolf or a Drive Shack and turn them into coming to the local golf course or maybe checking out the local private club and what it offers along the same lines as that type of experience that they got at an off-course golf entertainment experience?
Well, now Dana, I want to get to you as well because I'm going to use the word innovator to describe you many times, multiple times today. So as an innovator, I bet you already have a thought in your mind. You've already been five years down the road on this, probably 5 years ago, in thinking that how are our facilities going to develop and cater to this 20 million people?
Well, look, it comes down to one key word. It has to be fun. And the real secret to success in trying to capture that group of people you're mentioning into traditional golf is who develops the correct runway. The runway approach from Topgolf to a regular golf course. An example I would use is my wife, who's a fairly new golfer. Would Topgolf's great with her, or she and I going out to play nine holes at our club is fine with her. But to go to the first tee at Pebble Beach and hit a golf ball in front of a few hundred people, she couldn't do. She picked up her ball and went up the middle of the fairway and dropped one, wouldn't hit a tee shot. Too intimidating. So we have to find a way that golf becomes more fun, less intimidating, where the three or four hit and giggle guys from Topgolf will go to the first tee of a golf course and not worry about embarrassment, or not worry about if they're doing things the right way, not worry about the 29 or 30 rules of things you can't do at that place. So we just need to make it a more forgiving environment in general. And if we do that, people won't mind hitting a bad shot. They won't mind hitting a whiff even. Because what's going to happen is they'll understand it's a fun game, and they're not trying to be the club champion. They're not trying to be a two handicapper. They're simply just trying to have fun and be outside. And we need to embrace that. And I think, you know, Jim can tell you from the stats the PGA looks at, we don't have enough people out there playing golf to eliminate these people. You know, we have the old traditional guys that say, if you're not playing in the club championship, if you're not playing the member guest, if you don't have a handicap, you're not a golfer. And we're like, whoa. Hey, if you want to play golf, you're a golfer, and we're going to take care of you. And that's the real secret, is being open, welcoming, and fun.
Well, I tell you, Dana, you had me at hello when you said fun, because the sign that hangs above my door at Springdale says that Keith Stewart is the director of fun. You know, I don't want to be a head golf professional. I don't want to be a director of golf. I want to be the director of fun. And you know what? We're going to have a lot more fun, because we're going to come back after break and we're going to talk to these two industry leaders a little bit more. But folks, for right now, it's 3:15 p.m. here in Princeton, 2:15 p.m. for our friends listening in Austin, Texas at the Dell Match Play Championship. Thanks for listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Back after this.
The New Jersey Golf Foundation, the charitable arm of the NJPGA section, is committed to positively impacting lives and communities through the game of golf. With a focus on three core pillars, youth, military, and special needs, the NJGF delivers dynamic programming under the guidance of PGA professionals, so individuals from all backgrounds can experience the game of golf in a welcoming environment. To support the NJGF or learn more about programs and special events, visit njgolffoundation.org. That's njgolffoundation.org.
Win cash up to $5,000 with this cash code. Shoes. Got it? Now go to 920thejersey.com for your chance at winning cash.
Big money, baby.
Get all the info and rules at 920thejersey.com.
Springdale Golf Club members have been enjoying a club that's been a part of the Princeton community for nearly 125 years, with the best golf and social experience in our region. But did you know about the benefits that extend beyond the boundaries of the club through its agreement with Troon Purvey, the private club operating division of Troon Golf Management? Springdale's historical significance, William Flynn design with challenging greens, blended with a dedicated team of associates now combined with Troon's operational expertise, are taking the club to the next level in commitment to the member experience. Just announced as a significant expansion of the Troon Purvey Privileges Program. This Vanguard Service initiative includes enhanced golf and lifestyle benefits that extend far beyond the fairways. For more information about the club and all the amazing fun things we have planned for 2019, please take a moment and visit our website at www.springdalegc.org/Troon Purvey. Once again, that's www.springdalegc.org/Troon Purvey. Welcome back to Springdale Golf Live. I'm Keith Stewart. You're listening to Fox Sports 920 The Jersey. Well, folks, we're here back with the founder of Troon Golf Management, CEO, and soon-to-be chairman of the board, Dana Garmany, and the vice president of the PGA of America, Jim Richardson.
Playing star again, there I go, turn the page.
Masterfully done there, Mr. Al Brooks on the board. Appreciate that. Now, we're going to get back to Dana right away because, you know, Dana, I hear you're quite the music aficionado, and with your impending kind of shift in career here, I thought Turn the Page by Bob Seger might be something that would put a smile to your face. What do you think?
The music's good. I loved Heroes to start, and now Turn the Page. But, yeah, I'm a bit of a garage band musician, so definitely need a day job to pay for that habit, but it's a lot of fun.
Well, one of the things we do every week on Springdale Golf Live is that we use music as kind of the undercurrent or theme of our fun when we talk about the pop culture of golf. And, you know, we try to have tie-ins as much as we can to our guests and whatever it is the current events are. And, you know, now speaking about music and getting back to what we were talking about before the break, the fun, one of the things I think is very interesting thing is how all of a sudden, you know, Troon, when you started, was known for all their expertise in agronomy and golf course conditioning. And now all of a sudden, you guys have this tremendous portfolio. Take me through kind of how this business model developed. When did it develop? Was it 20 years ago? Was it 10 years ago? Kind of take me through, because now you're partnering with food companies, tennis associations. Just take me through all of this development.
Well, I think we made a fundamental shift in 2014, and then we had been doing the same thing, growing, you know, at a nice pace, but again, one at a time. And what we really found was that the business, we wanted to cast a bigger net over the industry. So what we decided to do was be able to make more offerings. So we went about, you know, but we acquired, you know, some additional management companies. We acquired a caddy company, the Caddy Master. You mentioned the food company, Cliff Drysdale Tennis, as well. We have two more big things we'll announce next week, which are even probably more significant. That'll be on the radar screen very, very soon. More operating ability for us. But those things were done to where, and we also started a company called True Club Solutions. Those things were done where if our business development people were out talking with clients, they would find some sort of product that could be offered. And so that was the main reason, to make sure that we didn't waste that opportunity to not just be able to pitch pure management only. We wouldn't have other things that we could do, whether it be a consult agreement, whether it be an agronomy practice, whether it be a food and beverage issue. We wouldn't have the expertise in-house to be able to make those offerings. And so that's why we started in 2014 with a number of acquisitions in addition to our organic growth.
And now we've got here also today on the show with us is Jim Richardson, who is the VP of Operations. So as the Senior Vice President of Operations, you're kind of looking at how you're going to use this portfolio that Dana and the team is putting together. So what are you most excited about as this thing is kind of evolving and you get past that pivot point from 2014?
Yeah, I think as Dana said, when we're out talking to prospective clients or clubs that are interested in our services, normally what's happening is the club really has a deficiency in at least one major area of their operations. And a lot of times that can be at the tennis facility, or it can be in food and beverage, or can be concerns that they've had on agronomy in the golf course or in operations. And Dana's grown the company now through, you know, our organic growth as well as now through acquisitions. And we have an offering on almost any area that a club would be interested in bringing on expertise. So we can bring it in one area, or we can bring it in multiple areas, or the entire operation. So I think it really gives us a significant advantage over others that are in the industry from a standpoint of, I don't think anybody else stacks up with that type of knowledge and industry, you know, experience that they can bring to the table. It's been really interesting to see that growth because it's been very strategic. And as Dana said, there's some exciting things coming down the road that are really going to position us, I think, for you know, several years to come. So it's exciting from my standpoint, just being an employee of the company. It's exciting to be from an operations standpoint when we talk to customers and potential customers. And I think it's just exciting for what we're going to be able to offer clubs in the future as well, too.
Well, I tell you, this is all like very interesting to just myself as a young man in golf all my life. You know, I've always been on one side of the counter since I was about 13 years old. And to hear about all of what the leaders and the innovators are up to, it's like, it's just so obvious to me that when it comes to the game of golf, you guys are playing chess, not checkers, which to me is very refreshing as a PGA professional, because, you know, our business was built upon the mentor apprentice, you know, kind of role model. And, you know, to hear you guys just continually to be one step ahead is very refreshing, because a lot of times what I hear in golf all the time is that golf isn't doing good or golf's not popular. And I totally disagree with that. And you guys are completely reemphasizing the fact that, believe it or not, Al, I've been right all this time. You know, yep. Golf is in a very, very good place. The PGA Tour is successful. It looks like golf management is successful. The way you guys are approaching this, it's not even like, we got to talk to Julia Kelly, right? Now, Julia is a great friend of the show. She's the VP of marketing for Troon, but she needs to change the slogan to be like the most well-rounded leader in golf course management. Because it, as you guys present that, the way you just talked about it, it's really amazing. You think about the amount of thought that you're putting into this. So it goes back to the sticky notes, right, Dana? That you couldn't take this approach if you wrote down you wanted 100 courses in 50 states from day one. You know, So Dana, I'm going to go back to that story, and I'm going to say, if you were going to write a sticky note, what would it say for your goal for the next chapter in your life?
Well, I think it would be to probably continue to watch the company grow. I think the thing that makes me the most happy, to be honest, is the number of people in the company that have been able to put their children through school. We have people retiring from the company, not just me, but other people retiring from the company. So it's really been the movement from a young company all the way through you know, these 30-something years where people have had an entire career with us without ever leaving and have put their kids through school. So that's sort of something that I love to look at as far as what's happening now and in the future. For me personally, it'll be to do a bit more writing and a bit more work with the guitars, which I find sort of my esoteric side there a bit. But I really like those type things and, you know, putting my brain, you know, the different half of my brain working there as well. So it'll be fun for me to step away, but also to still have the involvement of a major shareholder and quite interested, you know, participant part of the time.
Well, thank you for sharing that and in the future of what you're doing. We wish you the best here from Springdale Golf Live. But one of the traditions that we have on the show here is that we'd like to do a little rapid fire Q&A with our guests. And you put it ever so eloquently there when you said you want to get a little more in touch with your esoteric side. So we right now, we're going to give you a little practice at that. And Jim just sat up straight in his chair because he knows he's heard the show before and he knows I like to have a little fun with this. Are you up for it, Dana?
Oh, sure.
Awesome. All right, we're going to start with you, and then we'll get to Jim next. So I'm going to give you a couple questions here. Favorite thing to enjoy after a round of golf?
A Tito's and grapefruit.
All right. Last person to text you?
My wife.
Do you listen to music when you play, yes or no?
Yes.
On a scale of 1 to 10, rate your driving skills.
6.
All right. There's probably a story there, but we don't have time. We're live. All right. Pasta or steak?
Steak.
If you could go to one concert and have backstage VIP passes all time, what would it be?
Beatles.
Ooh. All right. When you hear the word leader, who is the first person that comes to mind?
Ronald Reagan.
All right. Jim, I'm going to send it over to you now. Who wins the Masters?
Tiger.
Coffee, yes or no?
Yes.
Best athlete in St. Louis sports history?
Ina Slaughter.
All right. On a scale of 1 to 10, rate your fishing skills.
7.
Pasta or steak?
Steak.
Best rule change for 2019?
That you can clear any debris and fix anything on the putting green in
all
your
right.
line of sight.
That's a golfer response right there. All right, good. And when you hear the word leader, who is the first person that comes to mind?
Dana Garmany.
Dana Garmany. Well, very, very well said. Well, you know, one of the things that we pride ourselves on here is we love to talk about the pop culture of golf. And one of the things I want to get into, and Dana, I'd like to ask you, what's one thing you're looking forward to that is kind of like current events in golf right now, and we're going to see it develop more? So in the pop culture of golf these days, Dana Garmany, what are you into?
Let's see. I would say that what I really like is seeing the players engage, and so I've become a bit of a follower of some Instagram accounts and Twitter accounts of these guys because I really thought that Justin Thomas back and forth with the USGA was quite entertaining. So I would say that probably the social media element of these young men and women on the other tours really getting out there and opening up themselves to these thousands of people that was just unheard of in the past. So I think it's entertaining, and I think it's actually good for their brand that they're doing it.
All right, and Jim, I'm going to lob it over to you. Pop culture, golf, what are you into these days?
Yeah, I'd say, you know, what really got me the last couple of years were like the Bryan brothers and the trick shots that they did. And as Dana talked about, from a social media standpoint, I think that brought a lot of people in that at least were having fun with and looking at golf in a different way. And some of the unique things that they were doing to kind of keep their fans engaged. Obviously, they backed that up with them being really good players in the traditional sense as well, too. But I think those types of things, introducing that fun, different twist and different aspect of golf was great for the game. And it kind of gets people out of that traditional mode into the funner mode and that side of golf.
You know, both of those two things would certainly be in my top three. And you know what? You know what, Al Brooks? You know who's in my top two?
I can only imagine.
Jim Richardson and Dana Garmany.
I figured that.
Gentlemen, I can't thank you enough for spending the time today, this Friday afternoon on Springdale Golf Live. Dana, all the best in your next chapter of life. And Jim, I'll see you around the PGA circles.
Appreciate it. Thanks, Keith.
Thank you.
All right. Well, there you have it. We had Dana Garmany, retiring CEO this week of Troon Golf Management, and the vice president of the PGA of America, Jim Richardson. You know what, folks? Before I send you over to Doug Gottlieb, I got to thank my sponsors, the New Jersey Golf Foundation, Summit Golf Brands, and, of course, my man Jimmy, who makes my belts at FH Wadsworth. Got to thank my producer, Al Brooks, on the board, Springdale Board of Governors, and, of course, Troon Golf Management. Thanks, Julia Kelly, for all your help this week. Folks, I'm heading to Springdale. Where are you headed? We'll let the tower be your guide, and from Princeton to the Pacific Coast, and of course everywhere online, may you all have a Springdale day.
You've been listening to Springdale Golf Live with Keith Stewart. Keith returns to the tee next Friday afternoon at 3 on Fox Sports 920 The Jersey.
We now return you to our regularly scheduled national Fox Sports 920 The Jersey programming, already in progress.